Here's an experiment. Follow the stories of criminals in your community. All the people who get arrested and convicted of a felony. Find out everything you can about each and every one of them. Where they live, income, education, everything. Add information like phone contacts, what video games they played, websites they visited, where they traveled, favorite TV shows, who they called. Does that get you any closer to a credible profile of who is likely to commit a felony? Now multiply all this by tens of millions. You're not just looking at people in a single community. You have a giant data set of all convicted felons. And with the right algorithm, now you can assign probability numbers to every combination of features common to groups of convicted felons. Now look at the set of everyone. Ages, education, living parents, video games. You can suddenly assign a probability to any person on earth that they will commit a felony. Would an employer be interested in such a tool? The police? How about a college? Jim Adler is an entrepreneur in the big data business who recently created a tool just like this. Kind of scared him. Lest you immediately fear mass arrests from such electronic wizardry, prior government knowledge of, say, Boston bomber Tamerlane Tsarnaev's travel experiences, family contacts, the websites he created and visited, didn't result in any predictions that he would carry out a bombing at the Boston Marathon. Jim Adler says, however flawed such algorithms are in the world of big data and NSA-scale surveillance, they still are irresistible and relatively easy to make.
Some of this is trial and error. So we took whether someone had a misdemeanor or several misdemeanors, whether they were male or female, whether they had tattoos or not. This is data that's publicly available on their criminal record. And we just start postulating whether there's correlations between those features and the fact that whether they had a felony or not. The output of the algorithm is a set of weights along these features. So the algorithm may see that females are disproportionately correlated with having a felony than males. And so the algorithm will then, when they see that someone's female, the algorithm will weight that feature higher than, say, another feature that doesn't seem to be as highly correlated with someone having a felony or not.
So let's talk about the transition from your small data set to what is possible with an algorithm like this in terms of making plausible sounding predictions of whether people commit felonies.
I mean, false positives are really the important part of this. I mean, there is this, what I've often called this anarchy-tyranny trade-off, where if you're going to be very tyrannical, you don't care about the false positives. Sweep everybody in because you'll get the felons as well. On the other side is anarchy. You basically miss all the felons, and you don't catch anybody. The classifier is very insensitive. And so there is this trade-off. When you go to the airport and go through security, everybody is assumed guilty. The false positives are 99.999%, and we are okay with that. In other applications, like stop and frisk, false positives are alarmingly high. And for that application, maybe the false positives are too high to justify the benefits.
Let's get down to brass tacks here. How confident are you that you could develop in a short period of time, or maybe you already have, an algorithm that you could hand to someone like the NSA and they would be able to come up with very plausible, reasonable to defend kinds of probabilities, suspicions that X, Y, and Z are capable of behaviors D, E, and F?
I think that there's certain applications where that's quite possible. And it may not be the Ed Snowden situation. I mean, the reason this project first occurred to me last summer after the Aurora shootings. And it, like everyone, I was wondering if there was a way to predict whether someone is capable and practically planning a horrific event like this. And I quickly came to the realization, like most of us would, that there's just not enough signal there to plausibly and reasonably filter somebody out as plausible perpetrator of an event like this. There's other activities that are quite reasonable. I mean, the felon classifier, if someone has a felon on that looks like someone that is high probability of having a felony on their record that they may not be disclosing, that may be a high enough probability that it may warrant greater investigation. So it would be a tip to say, look into this guy a little bit more closely and grab more corroborating evidence.
Although, finally, if you could develop an algorithm that put together things like that, animal cruelty, propensity to commit violence, gun ownership, those sorts of things, languages you speak, could you develop an algorithm that would put Adam Lanza from Newtown on a list, or Mr. Al-Awlaki, American citizen from Yemen, on a list without having a stadium full of other people also on the list?
I don't really know. And I think that's important. That's an important point. I think if the statistics bear that out, if the correlations are high enough that a causal relationship could be inferred or a causal relationship could be uncovered based on those correlations. I mean, correlations are really just hints. Correlation does not imply causation. So you can't just say, hey, things are correlated, therefore this A caused B just because A and B are correlated. But it does cause you to pay attention to the potential of this event happening, and will cause you to look into it a little more deeply.
Kind of scary what you can do with big data, huh?
Well, I think technology is always a little scary at the outset. And I think that it takes a group of people from multiple disciplines, not just technologists, but humanitarians and policy makers and ethicists, to really figure out the appropriate use for the technology. It's not necessarily good or evil. It can be used effectively if there's enough transparency to have the debate. And that was the primary motivation here. I'm not out here defending predictive policing. What I'm out there trying to do is we need to have a conversation about what potentially is technology that could be abused. And it is scary, but it's scary because it's powerful. And how is the best way that it could be used?
How many big data companies do you think there are in this space right now, Jim Adler?
Oh, there's hundreds. Everyone's looking at data in new ways. We have amazing tools now.
So in that hundreds of companies and all those teams, just spitballing now, how many ethicists do you think have been hired in this space?
Not enough.
I think we can leave it there. Good one, Jim.
Thank you, John.
Jim Adler is an entrepreneur and thought leader on big data, privacy, security, and voting systems.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing.
Or politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.